Shavuos, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Zayin, 7-7. The Mishnah is going to deal with one more situation of Shavuos HaNotlin, where a person is trying to collect, but they'll be forced to take a Shavuot before they can collect, again, rabbinically. The cases here all deal with one who has a contract, and the contract is therefore enforceable in the Beis Din, but there's reason to think that maybe things aren't exactly as they seem. So in certain scenarios, we do uphold the contract, of course, but the person collecting needs to swear that they're entitled to what they claim they're entitled to. Now, the mission begins by referring to Mishnayos that exist in Maseches Ksubos, and there we had a situation along these lines. We have a woman who is what's called Pogemes Ksubasa. She impairs her own Ksuba. The case is, woman has a Ksuba, she says her husband owes her the 200 Zuz, according to the Ksuba, but she concedes that the husband has partially paid the Ksuba already. This is a possibility. You know, a woman could say to her husband during their marriage, listen, my sister needs money. Can you give me 100 zuz? And the husband will say, well, I'll give it to you, but you have to deduct it from your ksuba. And she can agree to that. In which case, the ksuba now becomes only worth 100. And she can get 100 cash and give it to her sister. That's a possibility. So the point is, if a woman later on turns to her husband, this is the case of the Mishnah in Ksubas and what the Mishnah here in Shavuos is referring to. Now they're divorced and she says, listen, you owe me my ksuba. And she has a ksuba. Now, since she has a ksuba, that's proof positive she hasn't been paid. That's what the courts look at it as. But the husband is saying, no, I paid in full. He's saying with certainty that this is not a legitimate claim. And while we wouldn't listen to him under normal circumstances, she is conceding that it was partially paid. Okay? So that she's pogemes ksubasa. She does impair her ksuba, by meaning she got some of it already. Now, this seems very similar to the Modav Miktsas situation, but it's not Modav Miktsas. Modav Miktsas was one of the three cases where, on a Doraisa level, a person does not have to pay, but he does have to swear. In other words, it's the defendant, the Nitba, who is swearing. So the plaintiff says, you owe me 100. Defendant says, no, it's just 40. And he'll have to, didn't pay 40, but he'll have to swear another 60. Okay, so not pay that 60. So now, over here, we have the plaintiff, the woman who is suing her husband, collecting the ksuba. She has to swear that she's due what she claims, and then she can, yes, collect it. So it's a shvua on the notlim, the one taking. Okay, so that's that principle, that once a woman impairs her ksuba, she has to swear before she can collect. That's old news from Maseches Ksubos, as are a number of other cases, and the Mishnah will speak those cases out first before we sort of extend that kind of thinking to a new case here in Maseches Shavuos. So it says, Keshem she'amru hapogemes b'ksubasa lo sifara. Just as we said that a woman who impairs her ksuba will not get paid by her husband, ela b'shvua, unless she also is prepared to swear in her claim, because the husband is saying he doesn't owe her. And similarly, we said, a similar kind of case where the husband presents one witness to the court and says, I've paid this woman's ksuba in full. She didn't give back ksuba, now she has it in her hands, but it's been paid before, and he presents one witness to support his claim. So again, this is not the Eid Echad situation, because Eid Echad usually is, Midoraisa is, so you have one witness saying you yes, owe money, and then you are the defendant, you say, no, I don't, I swear I don't. Here it's the plaintiff, the Toveya, the woman, is saying she's owed the money. One witness says, no, she isn't. She can swear and, yes, collect on her ksuba. But she has to swear because, again, it looks fishy. And also two more cases here of Menachasim Shubadim Menichse Yesomim. If the woman is collecting her ksuba from Nechasim Meshubadim, that is encumbered properties. So that means that the husband married the woman and gave her ksuba on one date. At the time they got married, so he had some property. Later on, he fell on hard times. He sells that property, but the property has like a first lien. It's encumbered. It's mishubad to her ksuba, to pay her ksuba in the case that he can't pay the ksuba when the time comes. So later on, the husband ends up falling on worse times, and then he ends up divorcing his wife, whatever it is, and then she now can't get paid from him because he has no money. So she will be able to go to the purchaser of that property and say, listen, I have the first mortgage here, I have the first lien, because I have a ksuba which predates your purchase of this property. So now you have to pay me for my ksuba. So the Mishnah's point here is that, of course, the contract is the contract, that's how the rules are, and she'll be able to collect, forcing the guy to either pay her 200 zuz, or she'll like foreclose on his property that he bought. But he can say, listen, you have to swear to me that you haven't been paid already once on this. So she has to pay before she collects. And same goes with Nichse Yesomim, if she's collecting from the heirs of her husband. So this is like, it could be her own children, it could be her stepchildren, it could be some nephew or something. The point is, you can't expect that these children, these heirs, who now have the father's estate, know whether or not the father paid off the ksuba. It's fishy. She's saying, no, it wasn't paid. They'll have to believe her and pay because she has the paperwork to prove it, but they can demand that she at least take a shvua before she collects. That's what the Mishnah says here, that lo tipara ela b'shvua. She can't be paid unless she swears first. And the last case, which is like that, is v'nifra shlo b'fanav shlo tipara ela b'shvua. A woman who's trying to collect her ksuba, and she's going through the bezin. She goes to bezin, you know, she lives in Yerushalayim, and her husband divorced her, and he picked up and moved to Thailand. So she says to the bezin, listen, my husband now has gone off to Thailand, he's not going back, and he owes me 200 zuz for my ksuba. So the bezin will essentially, you know, go to his apartment and sell it, the apartment back in Eretz Yisrael, so she can get paid, whatever the story is. The thing is that there's a rule that the rabbanon, that if the plaintiff says, defendant, you owe me money, and the defendant says, I definitely don't owe you money, I'm certain I don't, the defendant's within his rights, mid rabbanon, to say, yeah, swear to me I owe you the money. So in that case here, if the wife is claiming to the husband to pay the ksuba, and the husband says it was paid already, the husband could demand that she take a shvuah she wasn't paid. Look me in the eye and swear you weren't paid by me. And if she says, yes, I swear I wasn't paid by you, she'll be able to collect. Now, he's not here to demand that, but the bezin will act in his behalf. Since he's not around, he's in Thailand and can't be reached, the bezin in Eretz Yisrael will turn to this woman and say, listen, your husband's not here, but if you were here, he might demand you swear, because it was paid already. So swear to us you weren't paid already, and then we will indeed get your money for you by whatever it is, you know, impounding the property that he has here in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so those are all old news, but now the Mishnah says, v'chein, and so too, meaning the same kind of thinking applies to a new case. This is the new case, the Chiddush of our Masechah Shavuos over here. Hayesomim lo yiparu ela b'shvua. If the plaintiffs are yesomim, in other words, somebody dies, he leaves a drawer full of, you know, unpaid IOUs, the kids inherit it, they go through the drawer and they say, oh gosh, look, we should collect these debts. The kids now go and try to, as the plaintiffs go and sue the people who didn't pay back their debts to their late father, they won't be able to collect unless they swear that, to the best of their knowledge, it wasn't paid off. So the Mishnah says inside, Hayesom lo yiparo ela b'shvua. Now, what is the shvua? So, in other words, the defendant that is saying, I paid that already, I don't owe it to you, I don't know why you have that, or, you know, there's whatever it is. So then they have to take a shvua. The shvua they say is, shvua shlo pakadnu abba. We swear that our father didn't, on his deathbed, instruct us, like, to not collect on this IOU. Vishlo amar lano abba. And our father didn't say any other time, like prior to him dying, not to collect. V'shlo matzino ben ashtar shel abba sheshtar zeh parua. And nor do we find amongst the paperwork that we of our fathers, like a receipt that confirms, you know, that the receipt is a receipt that they would believe to be actually a legitimate receipt, that, you know, that this debt has been paid off and shouldn't be collected a second time. So the point is, they say, to the best of our knowledge, this has not been collected, and we want to collect it now. Since they have the IOU, the courts will force the defendant to pay, despite his claims that he paid it already, but he again can force them to take the shvua. Okay. That's a din d'rabbanan, that's the chiddush of our Mishnah, that a shvua is a notlin, a person can collect, but only after taking a shvua. A couple machloks here. The first is Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, afilo nolad ben la'achar misa sa'av, Hareze nishba v'notel. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, even if the child who's acting as a plaintiff to collect on his father's IOUs, even if that child was born after the father died, so of course the father never told the child anything, couldn't, obviously, so this child still has to swear that to the best of his knowledge, the loan is still outstanding. The reason why is because he could have found the shtar. The Chacham, the Tanakhama, disagree with that, and they say, listen, the Iker Shvua that the children are making is that the father didn't tell them to the contrary, nothing to do with, like, you know, a receipt they found. And it's just like sort of a Gilgal Shvua. Once you're swearing about the father not instructing, they also will swear about any other paperwork. But since there's no first part, the Iker part about the father instructing, so Gilgal to roll on the also requirement about the paperwork. Okay, fine. The second opinion in our Mishnah about a different point is Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Im yesh edim sha'amar ha'av b'sha'as misaso, shtar ze eino parua, Hu notal shelo b'shvua. Says Reb Shimon Gamliel, if there are two witnesses who can confirm that at the father, on his deathbed, before he died, he told his son's kids, there's shtaros in my drawer, don't forget to collect them, they're not paid yet. So now, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, that would obviate the need for the children to swear the father didn't tell them that it was paid, because there are two witnesses saying that the father said it wasn't paid. So that would be the halacha, like Reb Shimon Gamliel. Tanakama disagrees, and Tanakama holds, not halacha, that maybe the father was just saying that because he wants people to think that the kids are rich. So he wants them to do a good shidduch, so he says on his deathbed, oh, and by the way, my kids will have a mountain of money coming to them. Don't forget to get the money, kids. But it was just a made-up story. So that's where the Tanakhama says that's not good enough to obviate the need for a shvua. But the lach is like Reb Shimon Gamliel, that if there are witnesses that the claim the father said it wasn't collected, then the children can collect within the paperwork without having to take a shvua before they collect.